Hi, welcome to Stanlib's weekly economic podcast. My name is Kevin Lings and I'm the chief economist within Stanlib. The intention with these weekly podcasts is to unpack some of the key economic developments that have unfolded over the past week. And this week, I think we need to focus on two key things. The first is the US government shutdown that came into effect on the 1st of October. It's continued on into this week, and clearly the longer it carries on, the more damaging impact it will have on the US economy and, I guess, on confidence more broadly. So I think we need to unpack some of those dynamics. The second topic is South Africa's government revenue and expenditure numbers for the month of August. In general, they were better than expected, and it suggests that when we get the update for the medium-term budget in November, that we should have a set of numbers that look reasonably on track to achieve fiscal consolidation. In other words, I think we are at this stage managing to avoid a further deterioration in South Africa's fiscal balances. We've got now 5 months of the fiscal year, and clearly a lot can go wrong still, but you would say the data is definitely surprising on the upside. So I think those two key topics at this stage useful to discuss in a bit of detail. So let's start with the US government shutdown. As I said in the introduction, it came into effect on the 1st of October. And the underlying cause of the shutdown is the start of the new fiscal year and a lack of agreement between the Democrats and Republicans regarding certain expenditure items. And because they can't agree on those expenditure items, they don't have overall approval to spend money, and as a consequence, they have to go into a shutdown. Sounds like a fairly bizarre set of circumstances, but that's what's materialized, and it's happened many times in the past. The US's fiscal year ends at the end of September, and so they start a new tax year at the beginning of October, and everything has to be signed off and in place in order for the government to operate. Now, the area of dispute that has caused the shutdown relates to healthcare expenditure, particularly to Obamacare, or what's called the Affordable Care Act. And within that, it relates to a disagreement about a tax credit relating to the payment for medical cover. In essence, the Republicans want to do away with the tax credit, and the Democrats are saying that if you do away with the tax credit, you're going to make medical cover unaffordable for a huge number of people, and they can't arrive at an agreement, and because they can't get an agreement, they can't essentially approve the budget for the year ahead, and therefore expenditure has to stop across the board. Now, there are certain key parts of the US government that don't effectively go into shutdown. So that's anything related to the protection of people and property. So things like police, police services, medical services, or social payments, those continue on. The functioning of airports, those continue on. The military personnel, all of that continues on. The areas that get shut down are typically things like museums, national parks, and various government admin departments, and it includes some of the statistical functions. So last week, the US government didn't produce any data for the employment numbers for the month, and they didn't produce the weekly jobless claims. And so you end up with a lack of economic information while you have the shutdown, which is obviously not ideal. Also, during the shutdown, people are not paid. Initially, that doesn't mean a whole lot, but when you consider there's a significant number of people within the federal government that are paid bi-weekly, the longer the shutdown continues on, the more damaging effect it will have on people's incomes and household and the household sector. When the shutdown does end, then what tends to happen is the government implements a back pay situation. In other words, they reimburse people for the money they should have received while the shutdown was going on. And that includes people who are simply sitting at home. So in the end, households don't lose out because of the shutdown, but it can become very disruptive while it's in effect. It does start to have an economic impact. Obviously, that impact depends on the duration of the shutdown, but most people work on reducing US GDP by 0.1% for every week the shutdown lasts. As I say, initially, you wouldn't really adjust the GDP data. But if the shutdown starts to last 2 weeks, 3 weeks, it lasts a month, then yes, you would revise down the GDP estimate, even though you would then have back pay for those individuals that haven't been paid for that time, because there is a loss of activity. You can imagine how many, for example, foreign tourists are visiting the US at any point, and clearly they can't undertake their normal excursions, etc. And all of that is effectively a loss of activity, and that applies to a whole range of government services. So it's not good from a GDP perspective. It's obviously not good from a confidence perspective. And the quicker this gets sorted out, the better it is for everybody. Now, they have had a number of attempts to resolve this. I think last week the Senate had four votes to try and get to an agreement. And during those four votes, they couldn't reach an agreement. And so the shutdown continues on. In terms of the voting process, the Republicans have 53 senators within the Senate, and the Democrats have 47, so the Republicans have the majority. But in this instance, a simple majority is not good enough. You need a vote of 60 out of the 100 senators to get the fiscal approval in place. And so the votes that have gone ahead so far haven't been able to get those 60 votes, and so they haven't been able to resolve the shutdown. There is an option for them to extend the essentially the budget into this year. In other words, what you could agree on is simply to continue on the payments as they were at the end of their last fiscal year. That way the government can continue to operate for a period of time while you try and work out and resolve the differences. That has been put up for the vote, and that wasn't agreed to either. So at this stage, there is no meeting of the minds, and we have to assume that that continues on during the course of this week. Clearly, though, as every day of the shutdown continues, it does create some pressure, some political pressure, social pressure, and one would assume that that would result in the shutdown being resolved within the next few days. The longest a shutdown has lasted has been just over 30 days, and the shortest is 1 day. And they have, I think this is the 21st government shutdown the US has had since the 1970s. So this has occurred on a fairly regular basis, most of them very short-term in nature, and quite honestly, most of them very avoidable. But in this instance, I can't see the two parties getting closer together. If anything, the divide seems to have increased. And so at this stage, I'm not particularly hopeful for a quick resolution. I think it's going to drag on for a little while longer. So not a great outcome, but we'll obviously continue to watch developments carefully. The second topic is South Africa's government revenue and expenditure for the month of August. And I must say the data surprised on the upside. If I look at the revenue side of government's budget in August, certainly corporate taxes exceeded expectations and have continued to perform well and look to be on track to achieve the overall budget outcome. And if we look at where the gold price is and the platinum price, you can argue that there could be some upside surprise to corporate tax revenue as we get deeper into the year, particularly the December tax receipt. So I think corporate tax revenue looking okay. Individual tax revenue holding up nicely. You wouldn't say it's especially buoyant. We're simply not creating enough formal sector jobs for that to happen, but it has been a decent performance, and it's on track to achieve the sort of budgeted numbers that government put forward in their final budget attempt. Remember, they had three attempts at the budget, so we're referencing their final budget attempt as the key parameter. We're trying to see whether they can achieve those targets. The area that is overall doing very well is the VAT collection, but I just need to highlight that within the VAT collection, VAT refunds have actually declined. Now, the Revenue Service said they were going to try and reduce the backlog in terms of VAT refunds, and they haven't really done a great job in doing that. But what it's done for them is it's given them some buoyancy within VAT collection overall. Now, the bulk of that collection is obviously domestic, but they do collect some imported VAT, and the combination has been good for revenue collection overall. And so if you take those three key items, which make up the bulk of South Africa's tax revenue, you would say that that's putting us in a very good position to achieve the revenue outcome that we put forward earlier this year. If you look at the expenditure side of the budget, it's behind budget. Now, you can argue that that's either good or bad. In a country which is struggling in terms of infrastructure, you wouldn't think that the government would be underspending. But if you look at the effectiveness of government spending, which hasn't been good, then any form of underspending perhaps can be seen in a positive light from that perspective. The net result is that you've got a fiscal balance which is holding on reasonably well, and you've got an element of fiscal consolidation that continues on. In other words, I don't think we're going to see significant fiscal deterioration, even though the economy is barely growing at about 1%. And I guess that's not a bad outcome when you look at the overall set of circumstances we find ourselves in. A couple of other issues just to be aware of. We'll get an update of all of this in the medium-term budget policy statement, which has been pushed out to the 12th of November. Normally that occurs in October, but because the budget itself was late in finalizing those parameters, the medium-term budget has been pushed out essentially by a month. And then beyond that, the next key event is the grey listing decision. That occurs on the 24th of October. The Financial Action Task Force will have their meeting to decide whether South Africa's removed from that grey listing. If you look at what they said in June, they said then we had substantially completed the outstanding issues, but they needed to undertake a site visit. That site visit occurred in July, at the end of July. National Treasury put out a press statement to say that that site visit went well, and so the next focus is the big meeting on the 24th of October, and the expectation is that the Financial Action Task Force will then, at that point, remove South Africa from the grey list. Now, that sounds all fine, except that subsequently we've had the start of the Commission of Inquiry into some of the police issues in South Africa, and that has revealed a whole lot of other additional corruption issues and maladministration issues, and so there's a legitimate question mark around us being removed from the grey listing. If we look at some of those allegations that have been put forward in this Commission, and I must say that has shocked in terms of the extent of the maladministration and corruption that's been going on, then potentially the Financial Action Task Force takes that into account and decides to simply keep us on the grey listing. So there is some renewed questions being asked around South Africa's potential removal from the grey listing that I think are worth exploring. But if I look at South Africa's fiscal parameters, if I look at the way in which the main budget numbers are being managed, you would say that's a very decent outcome, and it does put us in a position where we can demonstrate ongoing fiscal consolidation, and hopefully at some point we can find a way to leverage that position into a more substantial growth and a better improvement in confidence. But for the moment, I think what we've got to accept is it's tough going, and at least the tax revenue is holding up, even though the economy is not performing especially well. That's all from me for this week. Hope it makes some sense, and we'll catch up again next week. Please remember that Standard Asset Management is an authorized financial services provider in terms of the FASE Act. Also, this podcast should not be construed as advice.